You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already picked on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over or under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, joining you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast corner of England. Today is Thursday, June the 23rd, and we are here to handicap a full slate of games for Friday, June 24th. I have two guests with me, the youth team here tonight. Firstly, we will go and say hello to Dylan Rockford. Dylan, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great, Malcolm. Started the day 4-0. And it would have been nice if we had the no-hitter, but Noah already put you on blast. I won't go too deep into it.
Yeah, well, that's just why I've left Noah until second to introduce, because we've got several bones to pick with Noah. First, Noah is our third wheel tonight. Noah, good evening. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great. I'm just watching this Ole Miss-Arkansas semifinal game. Winner goes to the final series and the loser goes home. It's a pitcher's duel, so hopefully Malcolm doesn't jinx that one either.
Yeah, well, about 10 minutes ago, shut up, about 10 minutes ago, we were just getting ready to record, and I said the little no-hitter icon came up on my phone, and Frankie Montas was throwing a no-hitter through 8 innings against the Seattle Mariners. Now, this is episode 134 of the MLB Gambling Podcast, and I think we are a perfect 2-for-2 in live mushing of a no-hitter on the show. We've recorded two shows in the past. I know me and Moon after the first one. I think the second one might have been one of you boys early this season. And it was a live no-hitter. And we managed to mush that both in pretty much world record time. So I said to Noah, quick, if we get on the podcast soon, we'll be able to mush this no-hitter live. No sooner had I typed the sentence, the no-hitter icon disappeared and the Rays got a hit off Frankie Montas. And in the 90 seconds that have intervened, Noah has then grassed me up on Twitter by screenshotting that conversation and sending it out for everyone to have a look at. So do you want to explain yourself, Noah?
Do you want to explain yourself, Malcolm? You're the one that did it. I just did it because everybody loves the little look-ins into the group chats.
Your little face, you're so pleased with yourself. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Because it's going to do well.
No, I think you were waiting for this because as soon as it happened, the post was already up.
It was already typed out.
He had his finger on the button. He was like Kim Jong-un. we throw this across. We're recording now. There was a lot of early games this evening, so we know the outcome of the pod we recorded. And for a lot of the games last night, Dylan, we ended up on the different sides of those games. It was quite noteworthy. And so you commented at the top of the show that you are a perfect 4-0, which gives a clue to the listeners what my record has been tonight. But I cannot catch a break. Like I've fallen on the wrong side of run games all over the place. Chicago got ahead in the 8th. The Cubs couldn't hold on, gave it back to Pittsburgh in the 9th. The Giants, as dogs, went down in a one-run game. St. Louis ended up losing by 2. Colorado with the other one. Colorado was a dog. We're in the scores tied in the 8th. They lost that by 1. Struggling a little bit. I do have the under in this Seattle A's game. So hopefully ridiculous happens there because I need to get on the board. Although I had the under in the Guardians Twins game. So yeah, interesting stuff. You're going okay, Dylan, and I'm struggling to catch a break. But I'm amusing everybody, which I suppose is part of my job. We've got a full 15 slate game tomorrow, Friday evening. There's no day baseball, actually. There's one early evening game, and then the rest are all midnight starts for me or later, so around about 7 p.m. over there. We will make a start with 6:40 Eastern first pitch is the New York Mets and the Miami Marlins, and that is Taiwan Walker for the Mets and Sandy Alcantara, Cy Young candidate, pitching for Miami. The Mets are a slight underdog here at plus 108. Miami behind Alcantara, the favourites at minus 26. Total set at 7.5. Walker's 5-2, 288 ERA, 59 1/3, 44 Ks, 116 whip. Alcantara 7-2, 172 ERA, 99 1/3, 90 strikeouts in the 0.96 whip. Now Walker's last two starts have been great for New York. He's thrown 12 innings, only allowed 2 earned runs in those 12 innings, and struck out 19 batters as well. He's had a 9-10 strikeout game his last two starts. Cantor has just been getting better and better. Didn't seem possible about a month ago, but he's now he's going 7, 8, 9 innings, barely gives up a run. This just seemed like a really obvious under. You can throw in the fact that Miami don't score many runs. They finished 3-2 again tonight against Colorado. Seems obvious. Looks like a bit of a trap. But I'll take the under here at minus 7.5. We'll throw this over to Dylan next because they are your New York Mets, Dylan. So where did you make your line here?
Yeah, so for the total, I made mine at 6.3, so I love the under as well. I'm with you there. But this is another problem where I'm fading my Mets, Malcolm. As good as the Mets have been this season, they have a losing record as an underdog, so not as profitable as being a dog as a favorite. But I love Sandy Alcantara here at home. I think both pitchers have really pitched well. Taiwan Walker, really, he's been getting a lot of strikeouts as well, so maybe you want to look over strikeouts, but I actually love the under. I was thinking about playing that as my play, but I like both. So I'm going to take the Marlins on the money line at minus 115, and I'll also take the under.
Okay, yeah. 2 for 2 then. Noah, Mets at the Marlins.
Make it a 3 for 3 because, I mean, both of these guys have been absolutely dealing this year, and Alcantara's gone at least 7 innings in his last 4 starts, only giving up 4 runs total in those 4 starts, and it's been 7 innings, 9 innings, 8.2, 8 innings. Alcantara has been unbelievable for the Marlins this year. I always like to interest myself in some Alcantara K-props, and, you know, a Walker K-prop might not be bad either, but definitely on the under.
Okay, so 3 for 3 on the unders there. Good, solid start for the boys. 7:05 Eastern first pitch is the Houston Astros at the New York Yankees. It's Justin Verlander for Houston and Luis Severino for the Yankees. Best pitching matchup of the night, this one on the card. The Yankees are the favorites, minus 114. Houston minus 105, so not much between them. Totally set at 7.5. Dylan, Houston at New York, game of the night, I think.
Yeah, game of the night, and I love the Yankees here at home. I made them a minus 125 favorite, so right now I see them at a pick of minus 110 both ways. I think that's great value here with the better team, in my opinion, the Yankees. Nice comeback win for them last night to take this series against their AL East rival, the Rays. Now they turn to Severino, where he is undefeated at home this season, and I think the Bombers are going to be able to take a few runs off Verlander. So I like the Yankees in their Little League ballpark. So give me the Yankees here on home.
Yankees then for Dylan. Noah, Houston at New York.
Not much of a play. I'm not going to break my own rule, but Verlander has not pitched like he has all season in his last two starts, giving up 7 runs to the White Sox and 4 to, who was that? Miami. So just plus he has not striking out many in both of those starts either. So depending on where that K-prop opens up, I'd be interested to see the prices there. Because he's had 5 strikeouts against the Marlins and 3 against the White Sox. So you might get some value there after 2 bad starts in a row. Otherwise, I'm probably going to stay away from this game because my gut is telling me the Yankees, and I'm just not going to put money against JV.
Yeah, the JV start from last week, Noah, was on my radar because of, we talked about it, and you may be aware that it was one of your rules. And then, yeah, he did. He got hit hard and early in that start last week. I thought the 7.5 looked really low here. I don't know what Dylan's line was, but you just, with these two lineups, it's not a huge leap of faith to see any kind of big hit putting 3 or 4 runs on the board at any point here. Like you say, Verlander has given up a few runs. It's that you've got the short porch out there. And I thought 2 or 3 hits in this game, and we could be over 7.5 with these two stud lineups going against each other. So, yeah, I'll have to take the over. I actually saw it at 8 earlier on. So the fact it's moved to 7.5 gives me a little bit more wiggle room as well. Before we move on, Dylan, give us that number. What was your number on this game?
I actually set my total at 7.2.
Oh, no. So Dylan goes for the under. Yeah. I don't care. I'm going to stick with the over. 7:10 Eastern first pitch. Boston Red Sox, Cleveland Guardians. Nick Pivetta is on the hill for the Red Sox. And Cal Quantrill is the pitcher for the Guardians. And nearly Guardians, first time this season. Boston -115. Cleveland -104. A close game on the money line. The total is set at 8.5. Noah, lead us off with the Red Sox at the Guardians.
This is a matchup between two extremely hot teams right now. Boston, they're 9-2 in their last 11, and the over is 6-2 in their last 8. And for Cleveland, they are 11-3 in their last 14 games. Bumping for each team is Nick Pivetta and Cal Quantrill. On the year, Pivetta is 7-5 with a 3.31 ERA, 82 strikeouts, 29 walks in 81.2 innings pitched. Pivetta has only surrendered 1 run in each of his last 2 outings, in 7 innings pitched against St. Louis and 8 innings pitched against Oakland. He has double-digit strikeouts in 2 of his last 3 starts. And Boston has won 7 of his last 8 starts. For Quantrill, he's 4-4 with a 3.77 ERA, 44 strikeouts, 23 walks in 71.2 innings pitched this year. He's coming off of giving up 5 runs to the Dodgers, but he's been solid for most of the year, pitching to contact and keeping offenses from lighting up the scoreboard. I think my lean would be the Guardians to win this game, but my pick is going to be on the under with these two pitchers on the mound.
Okay, so under. There at that line of 8.5. Dylan can give us the total that he got to and then give us his pick.
Yeah, so for this game, I made my total 8.5, literally right on the number. So I'm going to stay away from the total. I like a side. I actually like the Red Sox here at -112. I made him a -115 favorite. So thankfully, I was able to grab that number. I honestly was hoping for a nice plus price with my boy, Cal Quantrill, Malcolm. You know, I love him, but I'm going to bank on Pivetta to have a bounce back start after giving up a few runs on the road his last couple of starts. But Boston, they've won 4 in a row, and we've seen the Guardians get shut out today. So that's making me think that the Red Sox are going to come out strong here on the road. So at this short price, I'm going to take Pivetta here on the road.
Malcolm, Pivetta is going to bounce back after winning 7 of his last 8 games. We're taking Boston.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kind of leaning on Quantrill. I don't know why Dylan's going away from his guy there.
Well, yeah, Nick Pivetta, I think the one bad start Gibbs was the one I mushed him when I talked him up. I talked about his mechanical changes that he made mid-game. And he's, for that reason, I really got no choice but to stick with him. These two teams are teams that I've looked at in depth this afternoon. I actually wrote up a little MLB futures piece, which is on the website at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I'm looking at the player awards and looking at some league winners. I was trying to find some fancy price winners, some double-figure priced winners. And the Red Sox got under my radar by virtue as hot as they have been. Yeah, Nick Pivetta has been a big part of that. I did talk him up, so I'm going to take Boston on the money line, the same as Dylan. I'm going to stick with my guy, Pivetta, even though I do like Quantrill, and I've been enjoying how the Guardians have hung in there in their divisional race. But yeah, I'll stick with Pivetta.
Though we don't get the live no-hitter sweat, we get a live college baseball sweat for Dylan. He's on the Ole Miss money line. They just trotted out their starting pitcher for the bottom of the ninth with 101 pitches, and their bullpen has not given up more than two runs all tournament in 22 innings pitched. So it's an interesting decision from coach, but we're going to see how this works out.
I'm going to see if I can judge how it's going by watching Dylan's demeanor sitting on his chair, see if he's jumping about. Good luck with that, Dill. 7:10 Eastern, first pitch. The Pittsburgh Pirates and the Tampa Bay Rays. Mitch Keller for Pittsburgh and Jeffrey Springs, the lefty, is drawn the start for the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay are a 2-1 on favorite, minus 206 for Tampa. Pittsburgh are plus 175. Total here is at 7.5. Keller is 2-5 with a 4.72 ERA. He's pitched 6.1 innings, 50 Ks, and a 1.44 whip. Springs is 3-2 with an ERA of an even 2, 54 pitched 56 strikeouts, 0.98 whip. Keller's last three starts have been great. He's pitched 17 and a third. He's only given up 4 earned runs. I do have some concerns with him on the road. He has a road ERA of 5.06. Jeffrey Springs threw in his first bad start last time at Baltimore. I think he gave up 4 in that game, if memory serves. This just looked like an over for me. I think Pittsburgh have scored a lot of runs, although the opposition has been slightly weaker than faced the Chicago Cubs. But they've looked a bit funkier. They've definitely had a boost from the presence of O'Neill Cruz, but Michael Chavis has been hitting a little bit. Brian and Reynolds. Pittsburgh have been okay. You know, they've been a relatively fun team to watch. I've commented a couple of times that this Tampa Bay lineup was suddenly a little bit light, but this 7.5 is too low. It really is. So, yeah, I'm happy to take the over 7.5 here at minus 108. Noah, we'll let you go next on Pittsburgh versus the Bay.
Sorry, I was muted. Mama Bienick was banging around some pots and pans upstairs making some dinner. But anyways, I kind of like the plus price on Pittsburgh here. Like you said, Cruz has been a very big, just positive morale booster for this Pirates squad. You never know what you're going to get from Keller. He has that ability to blow up and give up 6 runs, but he has the ability to go out there and, I mean, throw a gem at any point throughout this kid's career. He's talented. Just some points, it's just like, I don't know. I'm not gonna go on any further and ramble on, because I really, that guy is just stunning to me because he has all the talent in the world. So I'm going to bank on that. And it's plus 175 I'm seeing, and she's sneezing upstairs. Hopefully the microphone's not picking up that one either. But give me the Buccos. I like it.
Maybe the pepper going in your dinner there, Noah, making a seat. Yeah, if I was going to pick a line on this one, I wouldn't be taking Tampa at this price. It would be Pittsburgh, although I have taken the over. Dylan, Pittsburgh at Tampa.
Yeah, can't back the Rays here. Can't back the Pirates either, even though they have won 4 of the last 5. I took them today. Nice win. But I agree with you, Malcolm. I like the over. I was able to get a 7 when the lines dropped. But even at a 7.5, I still like the over. I made my line 8.4. Both teams, they've been playing more over games as of late. Both teams have gone over this number 4 of the last 5 games. So I think we see another high-scoring game, especially with Keller on the road. Like you mentioned, his road ERA has been concerning. So I think we see a high scoring game, maybe like 6-4, 6-5, something like that. So give me the over.
Okay, like that. I'm pleased. I now want you to be on my side tonight, Dylan, after what's transpired in the early games. 7:20 Eastern, first pitch is the LA Dodgers, the Atlanta Braves. It is Julio Urias, lefty, going for the Dodgers. And Ian Anderson is the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. This should be a close match as well, actually, on the books. Dodgers minus 125 favorites. Atlanta are +105 and a total is set at 9. And this one goes to you, Dylan.
Yeah, I love the value here we're getting with the Dodgers. I'm taking them straight up, but I do see value here on the run line with them as well. But just to be safe, I'll take the Dodgers on the money line at -120 on the road. As hot as the Braves have been, they don't play well when they're the underdog. Just 6-10 straight up as an underdog. The Dodgers are 22-13 on the road, and they've only lost one game as a favorite this season straight up. So I think we see a nice performance from Urias to get him back in the winning column. So I'm going to take the Dodgers here on the road on the money line, -120.
Yeah, I did exactly the same. I took the Dodgers here as well. I think we last pod that Urias had this weird losing record, yeah, even though he had the stellar start line. Anderson's last start didn't particularly impress me very much. The Braves have been scoring a lot of runs as well fairly recently. In fact, a lot of teams have. The runs have noticeably jumped up that we commented on last night's podcast. Yeah, I just thought the value here was with the Dodgers. Close matchup, the lines will tell you that, but the money line for LA, -125. I just think Anderson is slightly vulnerable to this potent Dodgers lineup, so I'll take the Doyers there. Noah, Dodgers at the Braves?
Doyers, I love it. I say that a lot too. I mean, give me. I like the under more than the money line here. I think I don't know if Anderson's necessarily going to give up a ton of runs, but I think the interesting storyline, I'm just going to go with storyline here, is Freddie Freeman against the old team in Atlanta. Yeah. It's his first time going back, I believe. So one's going to be fun one to watch.
Yeah, there was some, I saw a poll on Twitter, a stupid poll asking if he was going to get booed or not. And that sort of thing would just blow my mind. So yeah, I'd be interested to see what goes on tomorrow with Freddie. 8:05 Eastern first pitch is the Washington Nationals at the Texas Rangers. Paolo Espino is the pitcher for Washington, and Dane Dunning is on the bump for Texas. The prices are Washington +130. Texas are a home favourite at -153. Total here is set at 8.5. And this is with you, Noah. Washington at Texas.
Yeah, so Washington's 2-9 in their last 11 games, and the under has hit in 4 of their last 6. Texas, they're 7-4 in their last 11 games, with the under coming in 6 of their last 9. Chucking for the Nationals, Paolo Espino. He's 0-1 with a 2.29 ERA, 27 strikeouts, 8 walks, and 35.1 innings pitched. This is going to be his third start this season. His last start versus the Phillies included 4 walks and 5 innings. So as they continue to stretch him out from the bullpen into a starter, maybe the control becomes a little bit of an issue here. Texas, they're going to be starting Dane Dunning. He's 1-5 this year with a 4.38 ERA, 70 strikeouts and 28 walks and 76 innings pitched. My pick here is on the Rangers. I'm not too strong in it just because it's a little juicy, but not entertaining the run line. And even though both trends on both teams lean towards the under, I'm not a huge fan of either pitcher in this matchup. And I'm interested to hear what Dylan's total is for it.
Yeah. So okay, for my. Yeah,
yeah,
so for my total for the Dodgers, Braves, it's 8.6.
Yeah, so I'd probably stay away from that too because I'm seeing 8.5 on my screen.
Okay. I am completely echoed. I've got written down here pretty much what you said, Noah. I saw the Texas earlier on at -130, and I've written good price next to it. Turns out it was a good price. It was doing me too, because that's now gone to -153, which is probably a little bit too juicy for me to throw out. Go no bet on the grounds that price has disappeared. But like I say, when I handicapped that earlier on, so there might be something nearer 140 at your book, or it might even slide back the other way. Washington are just unbackable at the moment, whoever's on the mound for them. And I do like Dane Dunning. He's been going okay for Texas. So yeah, Texas would be the play. But maybe not at -153. Interesting to see what Dylan priced Texas Rangers up at.
Yeah, so I apologize. No, I said the Dodgers Braves total was at an 8.6. For the Nationals Rangers, I said it at a 9.1. So I do like the over. I actually made the Rangers. This might be my lock of the day, but I took the Rangers earlier in the day at -130. I love them here at home. I just think the Nationals are a bad team. Not the best pitching matchup, but like you said, Malcolm, Dane Dunning has actually pitched pretty well at home this season. So against a national team who's been having problems scoring runs this past week, I think the Rangers take care of business. They're a better hitting team. I think they have the pitching advantage with Dane Dunning at home. So give me the Rangers here at home. Might be my lock of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Rangers too. It was just when I'm seeing it here on the screen, 154, I might still give it out as a play. It might be a little bit more than a unit just to eliminate some of that juice. But yeah, for me, giving it out here, I just feel guilty about it being the lock of the day.
Sometimes the juice is worth the squeeze.
For sure.
Okay. Dylan's connection was just dipping out a little bit there, so we apologize for that, but it came back in strong towards the end of his handicap, so we got the gist of what I was saying and we got his play, so we'll keep an eye on that. Apologies for that. I'm going to tell you about WinBet and their $50 to win $200 promotion. A $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. You can bet $500 on Sports or Casino before July the 31st to win this ultimate fantasy football experience. Incredible prize. It's a draft experience, which is at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Imagine that. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at wynnbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And I will tell you about sleep. Football season is creeping up. I'm seeing more and more football content on my news channels, Twitter, fantasy football stuff. A lot of my fantasy leagues are on the Sleeper app. Absolutely fantastic. The best app in the industry. Millions of players and growing all the time. But they've added a little over or under game on there. Now you can make a few quid. Choose your props, either hits in baseball, points in basketball, pick the right players and then select your own stake, and you can win anywhere from 2 to 20 times that stake by getting those right. The chat feature is really good. You can play with your friends, you can copy their picks, you can all get in there together. So loads of fun to be had. If you use the code sleeper.com/SGPMLB, Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. So join our squad using the code sleeper.com/SGPMLB. T's and C's apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Next game is a 8:10 Eastern first pitch. The Oakland Athletics at the Kansas City Royals. Cole Irvin, the lefty, goes for Oakland. Zach Greinke is on the hill for Kansas City. Kansas City are a -143 favorite. Oakland at +123. Total here is set at 9. And Cole Irvin is 2-4, has a 3.14 ERA, has pitched 63 innings with 43 punches and a 1.21 whip. Greinke is 0-4, has a 5.05 ERA, 51.2 pitch, 25 Ks and a 1.35 whip. Cole Irvin for Oakland's been going along okay. 3.05 ERA in his last 7. He held Atlanta 3 starts ago in part of that little run. He's going to give Oakland a chance here, I think, tomorrow, especially against Greinke. Greinke's getting worse. Didn't start great, and he's on the slide. 5-7 earned runs given up in his last 2. 6.31 ERA in his last 7. Oakland, if you're going to take them, I mean, the show tonight, that game, I'm guessing, is finished. That finished 1-0.
Yes, sir.
That was just 1-0. So Oakland can stay competitive in games, and they're actually a little bit better on the road. They're 15-20 on the road. We know they're a bad side, but I can't take Greinke in this position at all. Oakland at a plus price for me, +126 they're on. We're seeing what we're seeing now, +123. So yeah, another change here. I like Oakland. Dylan, what you got?
Yeah, no official play, but I want to wait and see if the Lions move in my direction. I made the Royals a -130 favorite, so if we could get a +130 with the A's, I'll probably be on them with you, Malcolm. Greinke is not the same pitcher we're used to seeing, and maybe it's because he's playing for the Royals, but I just can't trust him or the Royals right now. A's haven't been good either, but with the value we might be getting with Irvin Cole, I think it would be a very good play if we're able to get a plus 130 or higher. So it's a wait and see for me. So maybe towards the morning, I'll be on the A's.
Okay, so the A's potentially for Dylan. Noah, Oakland at Kansas City.
Yeah, if there was a team that I was willing to play in this game, it would have been Kansas City. I think their offense is, on high tide right now. I think they're doing pretty well and coming off of that Angels series where they put up 12 runs in a game that Shohei had 8 RBIs and they still won the game. I would pick Kansas City to win this game, but at minus 148, I'm just not going to.
My computer's been so. The 8:10 Eastern first pitch, Colorado Rockies at the Minnesota Twins. Germán Márquez is the starter for the Rockies and Dylan Bundy for the Twins. The lines are, the Twins are the favorites at minus 159. Colorado at plus 136. And this one belongs to you, Dylan. Colorado at Minnesota.
Yeah, sorry. No, another no official play, but I do lean under. I made my total 8.8. I like Dylan Bundy. Great name, but he's especially good at home. He's only given up 5 runs at home this season. The game today we saw ended Minnesota 1-0. I think if Márquez can try and limit the Twins the first couple of times through the lineup, I think we should be good because I don't expect Bundy to give up too many runs. He's really good at home. So if you had to play the game, I would play the under. I did make the Twins a minus 150 favorite, so I would need a plus 150 to take the Rockies.
It won't surprise you to learn I came down the exact other side. Dylan, to you, I've got the over here. I don't like Dylan Bundy.
Wow.
I think that's reflected in that 5.17 ERA. Márquez's ERA is a point higher at 6.16. As much as the Rockies are not great away from Coors Field, they can put enough runs here. They can get to Bundy for 2 or 3, and Minnesota can get to Colorado for a few more than that. So, yeah, I don't mind the 9 here, minus 116. And I did promise myself I was going to take more overs. I need to get off the under train and start being a bit more adventurous with the sun shining. So I'm going to start here, Colorado and Twins to go over. Noah.
Yeah, sorry, caught up. College game just ended. Ole Miss won 2-0, so I was posting a little bit of content there on Twitter. But in this game, again, my lean, or I guess my pick, would be Minnesota to win this game, but it's just a little bit too high for me to like feel comfortable in giving out. It's minus 160 that I see on my screen. But I would like Bundy to win this game. And I don't really like the over because the Colorado bats just don't play as well away from home. So that's just my basic handicap for this game. That's about all I got.
More than enough. If it's good enough for you, Noah, it's good enough for me. 8:10 pitches the Baltimore Orioles at the Chicago White Sox. Bradish for Baltimore and Michael Kopech is the White Sox pitcher. You've got to be a short place here. Not as short as I thought. The White Sox minus 165, Baltimore plus 147, a total at 8.5. Noah, take it away again. Baltimore at Chicago.
Okay, so in this game, we have my guy Kopech going for the White Sox, but there's no strong trends with the Orioles, and the over is 10-3 in Chicago's last 13 games. Starting for Baltimore is Kyle Bradish. He's 1-4 in the year with a 7.38 ERA, 46 strikeouts, 18 walks in 46.1 innings pitched. In his last two starts, he has only gone 4.1 innings pitched and has given up 5 runs to the Blue Jays and 6 to the Rays. Whereas the listeners know how high I am on Kopech. I picked him as my AL Cy Young this year, just as a long shot. But I'm going to have to take Chicago on the run line here. That's where I kind of fall here because I don't see Baltimore scoring more than 4, and I'm not comfortable enough in this over.
exactly the same play. I think it had to be. This is one we normally get, the one obvious one tonight we talk about. Bradisham having promised it, he just hasn't delivered. He's really on the skids now. Yeah, it just seemed incredibly obvious, this. And the price, I saw earlier on, of plus 130 for the White Sox on the run line. I'm saying plus 120 now, so it's moved a little bit. But yeah, and I reckon that Dylan's picked the same here. Dylan, prove me right or wrong, I reckon you've got the White Sox on the run line.
Absolutely. I love the value we're getting here with the South side on the run line. That's going to be my play. I was willing to lay actually a small price with them, but I was able to grab a plus 130. Even at a plus 120, I still have to take it. Kyle Bradish has really fell off. You can't trust him on the road. 11 runs in his last two starts on the road. Now going up against a White Sox team who they've been scoring a boatload of runs in this past week. So I think this is just a bad spot for him in the Orioles. Orioles don't play well on the road. So give me the South side here on the run line, plus 130.
Yeah, completely agree. You're right on that one. Next game on the card is another decent-looking matchup. It's an 8:10 Eastern first pitch between Toronto Blue Jays and the Milwaukee Brewers. Alek Manoah is the stud pitcher going for Toronto. And Adrian Hauser is on the hill for the Brewers. Where the lines are they up there? There they are. Toronto, minus 152. Milwaukee, plus 130. Totally a set at 8.5. Manoah, 8-2. ERA of an even 2.00. 81 innings pitched, 73 punches, and a 0.94 whip. Hauser, 4-7. With a 4.74. Or 4.24. Can't read my own writing. It is a 4.24. ERA for Hauser. 68 innings pitched, 54 Ks, and a 1.43 whip. Manoah pitched well last time against New York, but they got to him for four earned runs. It was kind of a one mistake kind of game for Manoah. So it wasn't a worry at all. He's just been brilliant. The 2.20 ERA over his last seven. Hauser's been consistently average. You kind of know what you're going to get. He's a 4.50 ERA pitcher. And whichever way you dress it up, he kind of bounces around that number, whether it's home or away. Doesn't really matter. This is much better at home, Hauser. I'll give him that. He's got a 2.94 ERA. This really is the handicap on this comes down to how, if you expect Hauser to hold Toronto and for how long. I took a first five under here, unusual play, just because I think Hauser can start well at home. He's been going okay. Expect Manoah to pitch his usual solid game. So I thought this could be a slow start. Toronto might pinch it late on, although the Brewers' bullpen has been outstanding. So the 8.5 might play as well. But I certainly thought early on this would be tight. And I'm going to take a first five under here. Noah?
So what I'm hearing is you're going to want to rely on the total has gone under in four of Milwaukee's last six games against Toronto, but you're not going to want to hear the stat that the total has gone over in Toronto's last nine of their last 10 games. So it might be a little bit scary taking an under in this one, but with Manoah on the mound, it gives you that little bit of confidence back because I'm going to be on Toronto here to win the game. And I actually do kind of lean under there with you, but I'm not going to be taking the under. And it's just one of those games where it's just like, again, it's a little too much juice for me and I'm not confident enough in the dog.
Yeah, the price is about 15 points, just a little bit too far. Dylan, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I really wanted to take the Blue Jays in this spot with Manoah on the mound, but the price got a little high for me as well. I made them a minus 140 favorite and the total 7.3. So I'm going to go under here. I think Manoah is going to be able to limit the Brewers. Manoah has only allowed seven runs on the road in 35 innings. This game just screams under to me. That stat did scare me a little that Noah mentioned with all the overs, but like he said, with Manoah on the mound, it gives me a little more confidence that he'll control the game. Maybe you want to look first five under as well. I like that play from Malcolm, but I'm going to go full game under 8.5.
Okay, so everyone's leaning a little bit under there behind the start from Alek Manoah. 8:15 Eastern first pitch. This is the Apple TV game. It's the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. Kyle Hendricks is back. He gets to start for the Cubs. And Andre Pallante, I'm going to go with. Exotic sounding name for the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cubs are +140. The Cardinals, -162, right in that price range again. We've got a few teams tonight who are just in that 15 points, two pro hit the back. Over or under is set at 8.5. Kyle Hendricks, Noah, do you love him or hate him?
Oh, I hate him. He's off the team. He's not coming back.
Yeah, you did. You jettisoned him from your fantasy team about 6 weeks ago, didn't you? Not to be seen again. Yeah, so what did you make of this matchup tomorrow with Andrea Pallante? Interesting name for St. Louis.
Yeah, it is an interesting name. And honestly, it's like he's done well in his appearances so far this year. But I'm going to go with the professor against the Cardinals. He's got some good history against the Cardinals here. And it's a nice price at +140 on Chicago. This is one of those that, again, we have the favorite opening a little bit too high. And the Cubs, they've stolen a couple of games as of late. So I'm going to ride the Cubs just slightly there.
Okay. Kyle Hendricks and Andre Pallante.
Yeah, Malcolm, you said this last week, and you were right. You just can't back Kyle Hendricks right now. I'm glad Noah dropped him from his team. I think he's going to get lit up by the Cardinals. The Cubs are just awful right now. You should be fading them in every opportunity you get. I love the +135 we're getting here on the run line, and that's where I'll go. I think the Cardinals will bounce back after losing today. So give me the Cardinals at home, on the run line, +135.
Come on. The Cubs can bounce back after getting walked off by the Pirates today, right?
No,
they can't. Dylan completely shut down Noah's handicap. I completely agree with you. This is possibly me talking through my pocket a little bit after taking the Cubs tonight and watching them blow up. But I'd already written down the Cards on the run line. It was +135 earlier on when I saw it. Has shifted ever so slightly to +126. But yeah, I just can't have Hendricks. I was a little bit disappointed with the Cardinals' offense tonight, but they'll get back on track at home tomorrow. And I think they're going to smash him up. I think they'll win this by 5 or 6 runs. So I'll take St. Louis on the run line.
Best of luck to you guys.
Yes, 2-1, mate, you can't win this tomorrow. That's you're a dead man walking, Noah. 9:38 Eastern first pitch is the Seattle Mariners at the LA Angels. Chris Flexen is on the bump for Seattle, and Michael Lorenzen goes for the Angels. The Mariners are +125 dogs. The Angels -145. Total is set at 9. Dylan, Seattle at the Angels.
Yeah, this cap is solely on Lorenzen. In every game he's pitched since May 1st, the game has gone over the total. It doesn't matter if he's home or on the road, the game goes over. I think the bats will be on full display tomorrow. I think it's going to be a beautiful night in Anaheim. Wind's blowing out in center field, so just screams over. I was able to get an 8.5 at -110. I love the over here.
Okay, fairly straightforward handicap from Dylan like that. What do you agree?
The Mariners are 4-7 in the last 11 games, but the over in those 11 games have, or the under, I mean, the under in those 11 games have hit 8 times. It's 8-3, and there was 5 games played against the Angels there. So the Angels, they're 5-3 in their last 8 and won 4 of those 5 against Seattle last week, where Mike Trout just absolutely tormented the Mariners. Chris Flexen, he's 2-8 on the year with a 4.23 ERA, 52 strikeouts, 25 walks in 72.1 innings pitched, but he's lost in his last 3 starts. And for the Angels, Michael Lorenzen, who got slapped around by the Mariners his last appearance, he gave up 7 runs in 5 innings. I personally lean Angels. I also lean over. I don't like the trend where both of these teams just played 5 times last week and taking an over, even though it most of the unders hit in that series. I lean on a Lorenzen bounce back, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Malcolm says, because I know Lorenzen, he has a sweet spot for the guy. So,
right. Well, the issue I have here
this was a real double-edged sword for me because I do have a sweet spot for Lorenzen. However, I feel like I'm entirely responsible for Chris Flexen's career. Whatever he does is a direct result of what I have said or done with or about him. I just can't get him right. I've talked him up. He's been terrible. I've faded him or dropped him or cut him from a team. He's been great. I'm taking no part in this. I am reversing out of this handicap at high speed. I can't make a pick. I refuse to make a pick. Chris Flexen is on the naughty step, and I'm going to sit there with him until he showed me some other stuff. So, yeah, I wasn't good enough to work this out. Chris Flexen's got me. He's defeated me. So I'm going to take a no bet on this one. We've got three games left to handicap for this Friday night slate. Before I do that, I'll tell you about Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee, a company that connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. You'll get expert tasted coffee. Trade's coffee team tastes their thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. And you'll also get a first match guarantee with Trade, who are so confident they'll match you right the first time. If they don't, they'll take your feedback and an actual coffee expert will work with you to send a brand new bag for free. Trade has delivered over 5 million bags of fresh coffee with more than 750,000 positive reviews. Right now, Trade are offering new subscribers a total of $30 off the first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP. And let Trade find you a coffee you love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. Next, 9:40 Eastern, first pitch, the Detroit Tigers at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ronnie Garcia is the pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. And Merrill Kelly goes for Arizona, a pitcher that we like here. Detroit are plus 140, Arizona minus 161, right in that range again, totally 8.5. Garcia 1-2, 4.97 ERA, has pitched 38 innings with 41 strikeouts and a 105 whip. Merrill Kelly 6-4, 3.46 ERA, 78 innings pitched, 66 Ks and a 129 whip. Garcia's been quite likable in his performances so far this season. He's been quite admirable in some of the stuff he's done, but then a team usually does get to him eventually for three or four. He's been slightly better on the road, but that's a small sample. It's only an 11-inning sample. He's done most of his pitching at home. Merrill Kelly's been slightly worrisome until his last start. He's had a 5.50 ERA in his last seven. Two of his last three have been great, especially a one-earned effort against Minnesota through seven innings pitched. Detroit are 8-22 on the road, which is a horrible number. The D-backs don't particularly inspire me with confidence, but I wanted to bet them here. But again, that price has just gone from it's at that minus 160, third or fourth time tonight. I'm going to give this out as a no bet, although I think Arizona are going to win the game. I'm not brave enough to give Arizona on the run line, so I'm going to back up with this one as well. I need to get my betting boots polished for the weekend. This isn't good enough. But yeah, minus 161 is the pick, but it's not something I want to give out officially. Dylan, could you dress this a different way?
Yeah, so I actually made the D-backs a minus 170 favorite. Still a little chalky for me, so I don't want to take the D-backs here. And I would need a plus 127 to take the D-backs on the run line. But I'm going to go under, another under here for me, Malcolm. I think with two bad offenses going, as well as Merrill Kelly at home, I think it's a recipe for an under type game. After giving up five runs to the Reds, Kelly had a nice bounce back, only giving up one run to the Twins. So Kelly's starting to come back to his earlier form that we saw in the beginning of the season. I'm going to trust him. And I think at home, Diamondbacks play a lot of unders at home. So give me the under 8.5 here.
Okay, Noah, Detroit at Arizona.
Yeah, my pick here is Arizona with confidence. I actually like them to win on the run line as well. I'm not a huge fan of Ronnie Garcia. I I don't know if I've taken it to Twitter yet, but I would love for Willy Peralta to get the starting spot instead of Garcia. For some reason, Hinch seems that Roni can be stretched out into this long reliever slash fifth starter guy, because all of our rotational starting pitchers from opening day have been injured and banged up. We're getting a couple of them back here in the next week or two. Erod's on the restricted list still, and then Michael Peralta, I think his first name is Michael, Big Mike. Yeah, he is making rehab starts as we speak, so soon they'll be here to save us. But I am fading Roni Garcia. In his career, he's only pitched 62.2 innings pitched, but he has a 5.89 ERA and just way too many walks, and he's given up 16 home runs. It's kind of, I don't understand how our bullpen's been so great this year, and this is the guy that we try to extend into a starting pitcher. He's done well so far, but I doubt him in this game. I'm going to be taking the D-backs on the run line.
Yeah, I do like Willy Peralta, actually. I'm pleased you mentioned that. I didn't realize how close he was to making this rotation. I've got him stashed in various places, best balls and stuff. I was expecting a bit more from him.
I don't know if he's close to making it anymore. We have Pineda and Erod, like, ready to come whenever Erod wants to. But yeah.
But he's Noah's next man up when there's an injury.
On my depth chart, he should be there already.
Good enough for me, mate. The Phillies at the Padres is a 9:40 Eastern first pitch. Aaron Nola for the Phillies, and Mackenzie Gore, the lefty, for San Diego, who are a slight home puppy here, one of Dylan's favourites, -103. The Phillies are -114, and the total is set at a miserly 7. Noah? Interesting game, this one. Close on the books. How did you split them?
Honestly, I like the under. I'm not going to split either team. I think both Nola and Gore have been great so far this season, and I'm not willing to put any money really in confidence on either side. I would lean towards the Padres and that small home puppy that Dylan always likes to say. But I no longer have any stock in Gore. I sold high on him, and he's still done well. That was not a slate in Gore, but I did what I needed to do in some season-long fantasy, and you know what? My team is on the up and up. We're aiming for the top half, for the top six to go to the playoffs, Malcolm, okay?
Okay, interesting. I have noticed you performing slightly better. So, yeah, good luck with that. Dylan, what was your line here on this Phillies Padres game?
Yeah, give me the home puppy, Malcolm. Love Gore in this spot. He's been great on the road this season. He's already pitched against this Philly team. Just 3 innings, but he didn't give up a single run in Philadelphia. Now back home in San Diego, where the Padres are great at home, 20-13, and they've rattled off 3 wins in a row, where as the Phillies, they've lost 3 in a row. So I think the Padres should be the favorite here. I made them a -105 favorite. I think they should be the favorite, so I'm going to take the home puppy here.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that one. I was surprised to see the Padres were underdogs here. Home advantage, nothing wrong with Mackenzie Gore. In fact, difficult to split Nola and Gore. And I do kind of prefer this Padres lineup. It's just slightly more reliable at the minute. So, give me the Padres. In this one, I will take the home puppy, Dylan. Last game of the slate is a 10:15 Eastern first pitch between the Cincinnati Reds and the San Francisco Giants. This is Graham Ashcraft for the Reds, and it is Alex Cobb for the Giants. The Reds are +151, Giants -176. Total here is set at 8. Noah, you can lead us off with the Reds at the Giants.
Cincinnati is 0-7 in their last 7 games, with the over 8 being 11-0 in their last 11. The Giants return home after a 3-4 road trip. I know you guys were talking about how they weren't going to have much success against the better team in Atlanta, and they went 1-3 in that 4-game series. So props to you guys. Graham Ashcraft, he makes the start for the Reds. He's 3-1 on the year with 3.51 ERA, 19 strikeouts, 7 walks, and 33.1 innings pitched. Malcolm, 4 and 6 runs have been scored on him in his last two starts versus the Brewers and the Cardinals. How would you assess your fantasy treasures performance here?
Yeah, well, I picked him up and then left him on the bench after his first start, so that's never a good sign. I'm hoping tomorrow's kind of the acid test, really. I might have said that last week, actually. So I'm giving him another life anyway.
Well, the acid test last week wasn't a very good one.
No, exactly. And what I've done here is to ensure he throws a no-hitter, I've taken the over.
Okay.
I need to get away from the unders as to get some more overs in my portfolio. And this is one of them. The Giants have scored loads of runs this week and they've allowed quite a lot as well. Cincinnati have also scored a few runs and allowed quite a lot. It just runs everywhere, these two teams. And like I say, I'm trying to reverse jinx Ashcraft here.
My own fantasy, I don't know, late round treasure I tried to make was Alex Cobb, and he's got a 5.62 ERA. He's 3-2 with 49 strikeouts, only 13 walks, and 41.2 innings pitched. But it's been an injury riddled season for him, and he's been better in his last two starts against the Reds and the Pirates. But again, it was the Reds and the Pirates. But he gets the Reds again here. He only gave up 2 runs in both contests against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I'm not willing to lay the money line. I think it's a little bit high, but I like the Giants to win this game, and I'll take the over.
Okay, so over for me, over for Noah. Dylan, 3 for 3?
I don't know about the over, but I can't believe we're getting a +110 on the Giants on the run line. The Reds, they've lost 7 in a row, and we all remember when they went on that losing streak earlier in the year. We might be seeing another one. So you just got to keep fading the Reds until they prove they can win consistently. But by the way, all those 7 losses were all by 2 or more runs. So they can't even cover the run line. So I like the Giants -1.5 at +110. I was willing to lay a small price with them. As for the total, I made my line 8.1. So, yeah.
Okay. So we like the over there. Fingers crossed we get that one over the line. Lock and dog picks to come after we've talked about IP Vanish. IP Vanish will protect your privacy more than just using incognito mode. It'll give you the added security to keep your private data safe from hackers, advertisers, other prying eyes. That's why at IP Vanish VPN, easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. So things like details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited device without sacrificing any speed, computers, tablets, phones, even your Fire Stick for when you're streaming. IP Vanish are currently offering 70% off for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee, the equivalent to getting 9 months for free. So take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use the promo code SGP to claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Okay, I feel like this has been a bit of an epic show here. It's always 15 games in a 3-man crew. Maybe get about as much content as we can possibly fit in here. Locks and dogs time. We will go to Noah first of all. Noah, what have you got for us?
My lock of the day is going to be the over 9 in Seattle and the Angels game. I was already going there, but Dylan sold me in his trend since May 1st. Every start Lorenzen has been in, it has gone over. Nice. I love that. And that's plus money as well, +100 I'm seeing right now. And as my dog, I'm going with the White Sox run line +120. I think I might not be the only one going there as well for my dog here today.
Yeah, you might have a good point there, Noah. Dylan, what was your lock and dog?
It's scary because I think we have all 3 of the same dog. So that was going to be my dog. But now since we all have the same dog, and I know we do, I'm going to change it.
Let's get the whole graphic on the white.
Screw it. Let's go Southside -1.5 +130 as my dog. As my lock, though, I mentioned it, teased it earlier in the show. Give me the Rangers on the money line, minus 130. What's the line right now, Malcolm? Do you see
151.
Yeah.
151 is a little...
It's a unit and a half play.
Yeah.
Squeeze every little bit out of it.
Yeah, squeeze, put a little more on it. I really like the Rangers here. I just can't back the Nationals here on the road. I think the Rangers take care of business here at home. So give me the Rangers on the money line straight up, and they bullied me. I'll take the White Sox on the run line as my dog.
They bullied me.
Yeah, we did.
You know what would be hilarious is if Malcolm backs out now.
Yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore on the money line for me. I'll tell you what, Dylan, we'll allow you to take that Texas pick because you're hot. If you were taking a minus 150 to get out of jail because you've been on a skid, then I wouldn't allow it. Because you're hot, that's a solid play. I'm okay with that. Okay, so it is the triple dog. I'm going to take the Chicago White Sox, -1.5 runs at plus 120. For my lock, I'm going to go all the way back to the Pittsburgh and Tampa game and take the over 7.5. I think it's too low. I think Keller can give up a few. I think Springs is just starting to wobble a little bit. Maybe I think he's flattered to deceive. And I think that Pittsburgh have gone okay, scored a lot of runs this week, put up another 8, I think, this evening. So they can contribute as bad as they've been and get us to over 7.5 in that game at a price of -105.
Plus the Rays are due after being no hit after 8 innings. And did you see that they lost that game? They ended up losing it.
I think in the first part of the show, I kind of scanned down the scores and just assumed that Oakland had won that 1-0, but they didn't. They fucked it up and managed to let us see. So at least that's something I got right on last. That's something I got right on last night's show. I did give the under and Seattle to win. So,
I'm watching a video on how the game ended. I think every day we're getting closer to robot umpires. I truly believe that. I didn't have a side. I wasn't really rooting for it, but it was clear outside and down. And it looked like the ump just rang him up to get out of there. And even the catcher, went to throw the ball back. And when he rung up, he looked behind and was like, "Oh, you gave that to us? It's getting out of hand. We're better off with robots."
I look forward to having a little gander.
We're going down a rabbit hole because this is my invention that I want to make and get a lot of money on, but I can't do it. I'm not craftsy or anything. So somebody, a listener, please use this idea. I want a handheld tool for an umpire, and it's like a little telegraphic strike zone. So it sets it up for every batter from their knees to their belt, and then they just hold it. And then when the ball crosses that imaginary box, it just shows where the ball was. And then boom, now you know if it's a strike or ball. No robot. You can still get the guy behind the plate and you can call him safer out at a play at the plate, but just get him a little tool that will show them like a little telegraphic picture.
Okay, I have no idea what to make of any of that. Way beyond my pay grade. Sounds good, though.
Told you, going down a rabbit hole. We're just doing it.
Baseball in the year 2052 podcast series with Noah Bennett. Cheers, boys. That was a lot of fun. I feel like I've been talking to you for about 5 hours. I'm going to go to bed is what I'm going to do. Enjoy chatting a lot. Thank you, everybody.
You only jinxed Frankie Montas's no-hitter at 5:34 today, so...
It seems like a long time ago. Maybe you're just talking to you two has drained me. I need Moonaf back. I need a man of my own generation back.
I'm out of town for a wedding this weekend. So, and then Moonaf just got back into the States, I think yesterday, doing NBA props already. So props to him for the NBA draft. He's grinding for you
what
guys.
What happened? Tonight. The Alps messed up his throat?
I don't know.
Everybody at the Sports Gambling Podcast is always grinding. That's how we do here. Cheers everyone for listening. I know it was the podcast made an appearance in the top 30 of the charts, which we're all delighted about. So keep liking and rating and reviewing and doing all those things because it does help with all the shows that I know you love. And I know everyone at the network appreciates it. Good luck with these picks. We gave out about 72 picks tonight.
We'll be back at some point over the weekend with plays for Saturday and Sunday night too. In the meantime,
the good Yankees luck. Just hit Altuve in the first at bat of the game.
Oh, get in. It's all going off. Lots going on. we will see you down the road. Cheers.